Exhortation, isn't it? Keep on the firing line. Those are our marching orders, amen, to just be faithful and be a witness, live for Christ. Amen. Yeah, thank you for that. That was a blessing. It certainly stirred my heart. Well, again, this is a special day. I love the special days when we can commemorate something. You know, we're going to commemorate dads today, and dads are special. I'm grateful for the dad that I had. My dad passed away some 27 years ago. Just a little before he passed away, he came to trust Christ. It was one of those in the last few days, and I'm grateful that he did. And I look forward to seeing my dad in heaven. I would have loved to have seen him grow in the things of the Lord. That didn't happen, but I'm glad that he did trust Christ as a Savior. It was, again, without going down that road, because I didn't have that plan. I just saw what God was doing in my dad's life. In the last year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, he had cancer. And, you know, we were raised in a Catholic home, and that was his mindset, that Catholic mindset of, son, I'm okay, I'll get to heaven, I'm fine, I'm a good person. That was what he was thinking. And God was working in his heart and showed him that he needed a Savior. And I'm so grateful that God just shined a light in his heart, and he recognized that, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. So I'll just say that, you know, in regard to that's my dad, that maybe you're praying for somebody and you're just kind of getting to the point where it's never going to do any good. They're so against God. They're practically an atheist. They don't want to, you know what? They say there's no atheist in a foxhole, okay? So when God puts somebody in a certain spot, they may be ready to listen, all right? So just keep praying, amen? All right. That was for free. You got that one for free. All right, so now, Father's Day, that's what we're looking at, and I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 13, and we'll start there. Normally, I like to preach expository messages. Most of mine are. This is not going to be that. I'm going to bring out the influence that we have as fathers and the big three T's, all right? So I've got 3 points that all start with a T, and I pray that God will use it today. It says here in Proverbs chapter 13, and I'm really looking at the first part of the verse. I'll read the whole verse. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But looking at that first part of the verse, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So he leaveth his inheritance to certainly children's children, but also to his children as well, all right? So I'll just put that in there. He leaveth an inheritance to his children, a good man that walks with the Lord and trusts in him. So today, this morning, I want to speak to you about our influence as a father, and I want to speak again on 3 areas where I believe that we will see our greatest influence. And that's what I want to bring out this morning as I speak to dads. And I'll be speaking about training and time and testimony. Training and time and testimony. And first of all, we're going to take a look at training. And in Proverbs 22, I think we probably know this verse. You can turn there because it's just a few pages over from where you're at. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When he is old, he will not depart from it. There are certain things that when you instill them in a child, they're going to be there all the rest of their days. They still have to make a decision about trusting Christ, and maybe they'll go the rest of their life and not trust Christ, but there are some things that I believe God promises that as you, in a godly fashion and in a godly way and in prayer and in just a godly daily living, there are certain things that are instilled that are hard for your children to get away from. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we're going to take a look at training. But with that, or before that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we are grateful again for this opportunity to gather together. May we never take that for granted. There's a big portion of this world that are not able to just gather together. It's illegal. There are those that would that are persecuted for trying to do that. They have to assemble in secret. And so we thank you for the the liberties that we have in this country. There are those who want to take them away, and we pray, Father, that you would, in your mercies, allow us to continue to have them. So we thank you. Again, we don't want to take them for granted. We thank you that we can gather together. We thank you that we can have a special service for commemorating our dads, our fathers, and we thank you for how you made that. Parents and children and then grandchildren. Lord, it's all a wonderful thing, and we thank you for how you made all of this. And Lord, we think about the influence that we have as dads, that we had, maybe we still continue to, that we have as grandparents. Help us not to take those things for granted, but would you help us to be faithful? Help us to keep on the firing line that we just heard in song. May we be faithful to keep our eyes on you. And may you bless this today. We pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in each and every heart. We pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. And we certainly want to honor dads today. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here without Christ, that you'll work in their hearts and lives and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray all of it in his wonderful name. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we read that passage. We read verses 1 through 4, but I'll read that verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Folks, we need to have the nurture, okay? You know, the nurture, that caring, that tenderness, the nurture, and then the admonition. Folks, we need, and I'll speak to dads here. Of course, as I'm speaking to dads, I speak to moms as well, and really to all of us in some capacity, but certainly I'm speaking to parents and specifically to dads today. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, we need to have some good balance as we raise our children. We have a number of folks here that are still raising children. Don't make the mistake of thinking, men, don't make the mistake of thinking that the training belongs to the wives. All right? Now, listen, the wives certainly have, for the most part, it doesn't happen in the dynamics of every family, but for the most part, you know, the moms have more time with the children. And what they do is so significant. Thank you, moms. Thank you for godly moms. We celebrated Mother's Day, you know, 5 weeks ago. And now we talk about dads and fathers. And I just want to say this. Sometimes as dads, we get busy out there in the work world, and you come home and you're wiped out, and you kind of relegate the training of the children just to the moms, just to the wives. And I want to just say this today. Men, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't make that mistake, because God wants to use you to have a big part, obviously, in the raising of your children, and you do. But don't forfeit it. Do something important as the man of the home. Set a tone in your home. Now, moms do that, certainly, but dads, you need to set a tone in your home. Amen? Yeah, we certainly need to do that. We want to make sure that you understand, and I believe you do, how important our walk with Christ is. It is vital. It is vital for our children to see. They need to see it early. So let me say this. Don't wait to do whatever God lays upon your heart to do. This is a good thing to be praying about. Lord, what would you have me to do? I work all day, sometimes 10 hours a day, sometimes 12. Right now, I'm in the thick of it. Well, with whatever time you have when you get home, there's opportunity to do some things. And God can use them in a big way, even though you think it's just a little bit of time. So don't wait. Start now. Maybe you haven't been doing that. I want to just admonish you. I want to exhort you to make sure to do that. I like this little poem. "Each little child God sends our way is like a piece of soft new clay. 'Tis ours to mold and shape and trim to make it pleasing unto him." God gives us opportunity, especially when the clay is soft. You know, we have some, you know, we have some mommies to be, you know, who already have some kids, and now we're going to have some more. Another wave of them coming. Praise the Lord. They're coming. All right. We're growing in that nursery one way or the other. Looks like we're growing both ways. You know, people coming in and we're seeing it grow that way, but we're also seeing it grow internally. Fathers, let me encourage you. Make sure to nurture your children. Learn to be very tender with them. Listen, we can be real macho. That's how we're kind of wired. We're supposed to be, you know, the knight in shining armor. Yeah, we're supposed to be all that. And certainly may we do that. But let's not throw away that part that God tells us to have have that nurturing quality about us. You go back just a few generations, and I so admire the generations before and the character of the generations. You know, you go back 2-3 generations, and, you know, they call it the greatest generation, you know, just a few generations ago because of what they stood for. You know, one of the downsides a little bit to those to the generations before is sometimes they were not always maybe verbally affectionate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, kids didn't always hear, "I love you." But you know what's more important than hearing it really is just seeing it and knowing that it's there. So it's more important that it's shown than just always said. I think today we say it a lot, and hopefully we mean it and back it up. So, but as I exhort men here today, I'm exhorting grandpas here today. I'm a grandpa many times over, okay? I'll have you know. And those grandkids are pretty special, but it's just good to spend. I just had a blast yesterday again I had the granddaughters over for a little while, and they're just about ready to turn two, and everything is just so spontaneous. It's so spontaneous. I got these two little camp chairs that I got out of the garage. And I set them up in the backyard a few days ago. And now they come over and they like those little camp chairs. And they sit on them for 2 seconds. And, visiting with grandpa. And then they get up and they just like to fold them. And then pack them up and walk across the yard. And then set them back up again. I'm like, where are you going? And then after a while, they like to pack them up again, fold them up, and walk right back over and just sit, and we just had a grand old time. You know why it's great? It's a grand old time as a grandparent, because at some point you just go, okay, back home to mommy and daddy. Oh, no, they're great. They're great. But I want to just say this. Boy, spend some time, dads, and have some nurturing time. Let your children know you love them. Man, hug them. Kiss them. Be affectionate with those children. God's given to you. Don't get so caught up in everything you're doing. It's easy to do. And you're taking care of your household. And maybe both you and your wife are working. However it works. Maybe your wife is working and you're staying at home. Whatever. Just spend time with your children. Spend that quality time. And let your children know that you have a heart. You know, in the past it was like, oh, God forbid that they should ever see their dad cry. Well, we shouldn't cry about little silly things, but there ought to be a tenderness and compassionate in our hearts that the Bible says Jesus wept. Amen. May we have a little bit of, maybe not just a little bit, but a good amount of that compassion that our children can see. Our children need to see a gentle spirit, but a strong resolve. They need to see that good balance. They need to see a gentleman as dad, but a dad who his word goes. He has a strong resolve. They need to see that kindness, but firmness as well. So be affectionate. Hug them. Tell them that you love them, and make sure, again, that your word goes. Joe Henry Hankins was a great preacher way back. He said this about his dad. He says, I thank God for my gray-haired father. I say to his praise and credit, his word was law in our home. When he said do or don't, nobody asked why. The fact that he said it was sufficient, and he didn't have to say it twice. Was he a tyrant? No. He was the best pal. He was the best pal his boys ever had. No man ever loved his home more, but our father's word was law. I think about Bob Jones, Sr. He passed away way back. We have some that graduated from Bob Jones University, you know, Brother Ray and Vicky and Brother Harbor, and Brother Bob Jones Sr. passed away like in the mid-60s, 65. So he's talking about his dad when he was raised. So he's probably a kid in the late 1890s. This is a long time ago. And he said, my father was just an old country daddy, and he had this old muzzle-loading shotgun that had a ramrod, all right? And that he used that ramrod to punch the wadding down the barrel. But what he got to say, and I won't read that whole thing, but he said, that's not all that that ramrod was used for. He says he raised 12 children with that ramrod, all right? I'm going to let your imaginations go with that. Obviously, we're not talking about abusing, never. And you know, listen, it's tough times right now, all right? I'm not going to get in the middle of all this, okay, because you got a lot of, there's a lot of challenges here, but I know that whenever, as raising our children, I think about what the Word of God said and about discipline. And you know, I never wanted to do it, but I always told the Lord, please help me. I never want to do it in anger. I want to do it the right way, but I want them to know that there's some consequences to wrong behavior. And I would sit with those kids, my kids, and they were like, oh, you could just see it. We got the big long lecture, and we know what's happening after this lecture's over. But I would just talk and say, I love you. I'm doing what I'm going to do because I care about you. Amen. You know? And, you know, you would have that line, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I think they were thinking, well, then why don't you do it to yourself, you know? So, but when we were done and you know, those spankings were done, we took the time and we sat through it and we prayed. And almost without fail, my wife would see us coming out of that bedroom, a couple of the kids that were in trouble and had to deal with them both. And we came out happy and smiling. We did. I'm not saying I always did it right, but I always wanted to do it right. And God was so good. Let me just say this. I'll just say this. Just don't put up with rebelliousness. Right. Just don't put up with it. I mean, there's ways of dealing with it. You know, just an angry countenance. You know how, you know, your mom could be like 100 feet away in the same room, like way in that corner. And as a kid, you're over here messing around. And then you look over and you see mom and she's got those laser eyes on you. And you're like, I am in trouble. And you're like, you just slinker back to just go back to good behavior again. Sometimes it's just a look. But don't let rebelliousness just happen. Oh, isn't Johnny so cute how he poured his soda over that man's head in the, you know, at the big whatever, the hamburger place. I can't even think of a hamburger place name right now. Yeah, isn't that so cute? No, that's not so cute. And when your kids hold you hostage in the grocery store, you got to get to the bottom of that one, all right? I'm just not going to go down and you know, fill in all the, or, you know, connect all the dots for you here. But listen, just don't let rebelliousness happen. Make sure that you take care of that. Folks, and let me say this to the men. Let's not become an expert on something trivial and let your kids just, you know, go to the dogs. Worse yet, go to hell. Don't let that happen. Don't become so obsessed with what you've got to do with your pickleball, you know, progress and bowling or hunting or whatever it might be. Some of you are like, now you're starting to get a little bit too nosy here with the hunting word. Listen, whatever it is, you know, obviously there's times when you do your me thing and I do my me thing, but don't leave your kids out in the lurch. Man, involve them. Involve them where you can. And God will bless that. It's a big part of training. Let's make sure that you put great emphasis. Make sure that you and I, you know, my dad days are kind of over, all right? But I'm a grandpa now, so I still have some influence. But make sure that that emphasis, that we put the emphasis on the things that really are important. Not about, listen, you know, my kid's going to be a superstar one day, and so we just got to, it's just got to be all about him. And you know what? You got to draw a line somewhere. Is that what you're going to, the message you're going to give to your kids? It's, oh, man, he's going to be a pro one day. And the plan is, yeah, and he's going to take care of us. That's our retirement plan, by the way. Okay? Maybe some people are thinking that way. Listen, here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's turn there. The Lord spoke to the children of Israel about raising children, about training them. And it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." He's saying, train them up in godly things. Train them up. Let it be a part of your life so that they hear it come from you. They need to hear you say to your son, "Isn't God good? He's a good God. Look what he's done. Look what all that he's created." Teach them these things at the earliest ages when you have an opportunity. It says, when thou liest down, when thou walkest by the way, everywhere you go, that ought to be an opportunity to point to the Lord and to just say how good he is. How good he is to you, how good he is to the family. Another area of great influence is in the area of time. In the area of time. It says this in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." And I spoke to that already a little bit. The rod and reproof give wisdom. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, obviously, we men realize that for the most part, we don't have the time that we would like to have, maybe because of our jobs. It kind of usually works out that way. We must make good use of our time then. And I referred to that on that first point. Your time is going to be less, but think it through, is what I'm saying, and have a strategy. Have a strategy that, yes, I'm probably going to have less time with my kids when I get home. And you know the temptation when you get home is, man, I'm shot. I am so tired, is you just want to sit and chill and watch TV or whatever you do, and, you know, you kind of don't want anybody to bother you. There's a part of that. Certainly, I can understand that. But we have to be willing to rise above that as men. And I say that if you're in that position where maybe you're working a lot of hours, is think about the time with your children and value it. And I know many of you do. So I think I'm preaching to the choir to many of you, but maybe it's something that has just gotten away from you and you've been thinking, oh, you know what, I haven't made a strategy. I need to be spending some quality time, even though it might just be a half an hour before my kids go off to bed. But in that little bit of time, I'm going to take that time to invest into them. Just have some fun time. Don't assume that just because you and your wife are saved that your kids are home free. Okay? You don't want to make that assumption. Oh, yeah, we're saved, and so everything's just fine with the children. No, you have to make an investment. You have to make an investment. That's what God blesses. Listen, I enjoyed spending time with my kids, and I didn't always make the best use of that time. I didn't always make the best use of that time. There were times when I fell into that same trap that I just spoke of, where you're just so dog tired that, you know, I just need to just go and sit and just kind of get my mind back again. But you don't want to make a habit out of that. You're probably all being distracted here. Is this happening? Is this thing been happening here? Yeah, that's why all of a sudden you're looking a different direction. But folks, we have to make an investment. We have to make an investment in our kids. Each one is so different. Each one is, are you there with, where did this kid come from? You know, you can look at this kid and you go, yeah, I see you. I see a little bit of me. I see me in this one, and I see some of you in that one, And then it's like, this one is, where did this one come from? Was this kid switched at birth? Is our real kid like somewhere else, you know? Sometimes you think that. God is good. And sometimes you get a kid that is like, so, you know, he is just so obedient and so his nature is just given to, yes, mommy. And you're raising them up and they're 2, 3 and it's like, look at me, what a gifted parent I am. And then God throws you a curveball on the next one. And it's like, oh yeah? Yeah, you think you got it all down? You're about ready to write a parenting book? Guess who's coming down the line? And then it's like, where did this child come from? What just happened to me? And you know, you spend time with your kids and, all right, it is happening, right? It's already over? Oh, okay, good. Thank you for doing that. Just some goofiness, you know, just do some, me and my boys, we just had like the ugliest face contest. Sometimes I didn't have to try very hard, I know. But, you know, just having silly, fun faces, playing Winnie the Pooh memory game with Hannah. My dad, I remember coming home and Hannah was just like, she was just ready, just bursting at the seams to tell me everything that happened that day. It was just crazy. Oh, Dad, you should have seen. Nathan had this grasshopper and he ran over it with his bicycle and it just exploded. It's just crazy. And then she goes off into something else and then something else. How do you do that, Hannah? It's amazing. And then my oldest daughter, you know, playing Candyland or having fun and doing all kinds of things. That oldest daughter of mine, Rachel, God gave her a gift. Boy, she can play the piano. Like right there, like alongside Vicky, she could play by ear. So I would just have a blast sometimes saying, Rachel, would you just play How Great Thou Art? And she would just start to play it. Would you play this or that? Then I would just say, can you play the Rocky theme song? Dun, 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 you know, and it's like, that is so awesome. We're just having some fun time together. Have some good times with your kids. Amen? It's just good. It's just good to be able to spend time with your children, going to my kids' baseball games and watching them play t-ball. And it's like my one son's out in right field and he's ready for the ball to be hit. And then all of a sudden a butterfly goes by and I'm like, Andrew, no, not the butterfly. Watch the ball, son. Watch the ball. Or my son Nathan. Nathan's on the right there under Sharon. And it's like, you know, I'm watching him play Little League. And he was on the Red Sox. They were so horrible. They were just horrible. And, you know, everybody in the crowd, and I was a little bit on the, you know, they're like, yeah, go. Come on, Red Sox. You're doing so great. And I'm like, no, they're not. I didn't really say that, you know. They're terrible. They're the worst team in the league. But did I say that to my son? No, I said, son, you just keep playing. Don't worry, you lost again. That's okay. Just keep at it. Just, you know what? It's just fun to be a dad. And it's fun to be a mom. And I appreciate my wife, who was just a great mom. But being a dad, what a blessing. And just being there, encourage your kids, spend time with them. So understanding that this is an area is going to demand some sacrifice. But sacrifices are, that's what are to be made, sacrifices, so that somebody else will benefit from the sacrifices made. Did not our Lord, he was sacrificed for us, and look what great benefactors we are as a result of that. We have everlasting life. And when we make a sacrifice, and dads, I just encourage you and exhort you, make those sacrifices, because you'll see the benefits down the road, and you'll watch how God blesses your children. It says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Make sure, though, again, that you pray that you'll have balance, because sometimes it can be so much about Johnny or so much about Susie that, man, it's just all, you're just coddling, and you're just spoiling the child. Have a balance. The world and the universe should not revolve around your children. I mean, this was a long time ago. Nobody here, even the Columns and the Bickishes wouldn't remember. There was a family way back in the day, in the early days of Treasure Valley, and they had this little boy, and we were, oh, that's great, look at this. Do you know, Pastor, Brother Garcia, that my children had an aura about them when they were just tiny little babies when they first came home. An aura? What do you mean? It was just like a glow about them. And we watched them, how they raised their kids, and it was just like everything was, I mean, you think that this was Moses, little Moses or something. And I mean, okay, listen, yeah, your children are beautiful. They're wonderful. That's great. But it shouldn't just be all about them. And they always get participation trophies. You know what you're going to raise? You're going to raise a spoiled brat. There's got to be some discipline. There's got to be some nurture, obviously. But be careful that you don't go down that road. And then finally, but no doubt most importantly, I believe, is this area of testimony, your testimony. Your testimony. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm just going to have you turn there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. So we think about training, we think about our time, and now our testimony. And Paul, as he's speaking to the church at Philippi, he says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Listen, just as we are to be before the world, that's how we should be in our own home. We should have a light about us, the light of Christ. We should be different. It says that you may be blameless and harmless. Now, it doesn't mean perfect, and it doesn't say sinless, but blameless. Boy, we act a certain way around church people. Do we go home and we're a totally different creature? Really, are we just totally different? It's like, well, that's not the dad I see in church. He's always saying hallelujah and amen, and now he's kind of an ogre at home. That's not the way it should work. They ought to see the same thing at home that they see out in the public, that they see out in the church, out in the, in the sanctuary. May we be careful about our influence. Folks, your influence, and dads, your influence will last a lifetime. I have a lot of great memories of my dad. My dad got saved the last week of his life. And so all those years, I was raised by a dad that didn't know Christ, but I had a good dad. He wasn't perfect. Certainly, there were things that were not perfect in his life, but I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful that he was a good dad that treated us well. You know, when I did something bad, I got in trouble for it. And boy, when he had to do it and he had to deal with me, him taking off that belt was like the end of the world. He's pulling that belt out, and it's like, oh, it's over. It's over, you know. Like Fred Sanford used to say, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Yeah. It was like the end of my life. Folks, how will your kids remember you? Will they remember you for your kindness? Will they remember you for your godliness? I heard this little story. A father heard some boys outside of his window at the house, and his boy was one of those boys that he was hearing, and they were saying things like, my dad can beat your dad. And another kid says, my dad knows the mayor. And another one said, my dad knows the governor. And then he heard his boy's voice. And he said, that's nothing, guys. My dad knows God. And it made that father run to his room and fall on his knees and say, oh God, may I always live so my boy can say, my dad knows God. Will your boys be able to say that? Will your girls be able to say that about you? My dad knows God. Listen, we're living in a time in our country when wickedness has reached the highest levels, I believe. The highest levels, certainly in our country. And the world is quick to take advantage of a boy or a girl and teach them their curriculum, right? Yep. We know that. We hear it over and over. You see that what the world is trying to do, and the world is looking to take an advantage when parents are in default. Don't get into that default mode. Boy, spend the time with your children. How is your testimony today, fathers? I read about a boy who woke up in the middle of the night screaming, and his father rushed into the bedroom and asked, son, What in the world is wrong with you? And the son, shaking like a leaf, sat up in the bed. And he replied, Daddy, I had the worst dream I've ever had in my life. He says, I dreamed that you came into my bedroom tonight while I was sleeping, and you climbed up on the top of the bed, and you got right next to me, and you put your hands around my throat, and you were choking me. I dreamed, Dad, that you were trying to kill me. That dad was not the right kind of man, and he knew it. And he said, Son, go back to bed. I'll see you in the morning. And he closed the bedroom door, and he went back to his room, and he got down on his knees, and he prayed, God, oh God, the dream my boy had tonight is the truth. I am ruining him. I'm destroying him. I'm not a clean man. I'm not an honest man. My influence is not for God, nor for the church, nor for my family. Oh God, have mercy on me. And after pouring out his heart to God, he got his heart right with God. Genesis chapter 18, it says in verse 19, when God was speaking about Abram, and he says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment. How about some father here without Christ today? Is there somebody here without Christ? This is a great opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior on Father's Day and become a dad that will raise his children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your children to love Jesus. I love what we see on Wednesday nights. Of course, we're taking a break right now, but on Wednesday nights, we have our Awana Club. And we've seen some families that I know did not know Christ, but they wanted their kids to be in a program, and those kids got in, and they listened to all those verses, and God worked in their hearts, and they came to the workers with those hearts already memorized, with those verses already memorized in their heart, and they said, I want to get saved. Amen. And they got saved. So maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, and my recommendation to you is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But maybe you're in that category of a dad who's not living for the Lord as you ought to. May you determine to turn your life over to the Lord so those children of yours, or grandparents, those grandkids of yours, will look at you and see something different maybe than what they've seen before. Someone once said this, I would rather be nailed up in my coffin and buried alive than to live a life that would damn somebody else. What kind of an influence are you and I having as fathers, as grandfathers? And of course, I'll talk about mothers as well and grandmothers. This poem says it very well. I saw them walking hand in hand, this father and his lad. I watched him as he spoke to you. I heard him call you dad. And oh, the pride he put within that dear, familiar word. I wondered if you'd caught it too. I wondered if you heard. Oh, you who made a son to whom you're the best dad of all, who copies everything you do. Don't let his ideals fall. Oh, pray the Lord to make you wise, to give you eyes to see. Why little boys will always say, like dad, I want to be. Oh, look around you everywhere. There's many a grown-up lad whose voice no longer holds that ring of pride when calling dad. Within your care, God has placed this trust. Then mold with him this clay and keep alive that glowing torch he holds for you today. Dads, might we be the dads that God wants us to be, amen? Might we be the dad that God wants us to be? He's given us an awful lot of influence, and he's given granddads as well a lot of influence. Because those little ones are looking at you, Do they see Jesus Christ in you and I? Do they see somebody with some compassion? Do they see somebody who's devoted and living for Christ? Do they see somebody who opens their Bible? Do they catch you sometimes praying in your room? They should. They should see moms and dads that love the Lord. Again, if you're here without Christ, it's a great day to get saved. On Father's Day, to trust Christ as Savior. Folks, I'll get back to dads. I'll go to dads. Dads, we have a tremendous influence. A tremendous influence. Might we take care to take advantage of that influence that we have and use it for Christ and let Him work through us? Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we'll go before the Lord in prayer with our heads bowed. And we're in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Maybe this is a good time to just spend some time with God and say, Lord, would you help me? Sometimes I've gotten a little bit too sidetracked. I am a bit overwhelmed with work. Sometimes I don't have a plan. Sometimes I'm not always spending time with the kids when I should. Sometimes I give in to that tiredness a little bit too much. Listen, we can understand that from time to time, but we don't want to make that a habit. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about my time with my kids or with my grandkids. Whatever influence that I have, I want it to be used for Christ. How many of you would say, pray for me, Pastor? I know God's spoken to my heart. I don't always use my time maybe the best as I should. Maybe my testimony is not always as it should. God bless you. Maybe you raise your hand and say, just pray for me. Listen, we all fall in that category. There's a number of hands that are being raised. I don't think any of us bats 1,000 with that. But it's good. It's good to just acknowledge that before the Lord. God bless you. And God bless you as well. There's a number of hands that continue to keep going up. But if we'll just keep that before the Lord, Lord, you know I'm trying. I want to do my best, but I want to get to another level. I want to be a great testimony for Christ. I want Him to be glorified in my life. And I want it to touch the hearts of my kids and my grandkids and everybody that I possibly have that's around me that I influence. Now, how about anybody here today without Christ? You would say, I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. And maybe I'm a dad, maybe I'm a mom. That doesn't really matter. But for the most part right now is that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And maybe you're here today and you don't know that. You don't know if you died that you'd go to heaven, because there's never been a time when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor Garcia. I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? I'd like to know that. And if you're here without Christ, then I want to encourage you to come up to the altar when we have our invitation. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercies and your kindness. Thank you again that we can have a Father's Day where we can commemorate and celebrate with our dads. Thank you for the influence that our dads have had in our life. And may we have an influence in our own children's lives or grandchildren's lives or whatever it might be. I pray that you'd help us to be yielded and sold out to you so that we could be the ultimate influence that we can possibly be. Would you work in our hearts today? Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.